I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Clicking Balls podcast. With this one, we are wrapping up round five, the extended round of the AFL. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is a highlight of the week. So, Brenton, what was your highlight of the week?
I was definitely having 5 days of football in the round. I feel like it's completely reasonable to start drinking in the afternoon on weekdays, so it's like an excuse for alcoholism. So it was exciting to have 5 days of something to watch.
I know, like, we've said with the Thursday ones, it's a little bit weird. You kind of go, oh, yeah, footy's on tonight. Yeah. But this week, like when Monday came around, I'm like, footy's on tonight? Yeah. I could watch some footy.
It reminded me, but it's what it'd be like if you actually had like NBA here or something where you can watch a game pretty much every day.
Every night of the week, yeah.
And it's the best of the best, whereas here, obviously, our basketball's shit. But, so it's good to be able to back that up with playoffs. Watch playoffs in the morning, then watch footy at night. It's perfect.
Decent
got,
action.
Got some work done in the meantime.
I could not tell you when the NBL season runs.
No. Finished, a month ago, I think. Yeah.
I used to know because...
I've forgotten who won.
I used to know because the owner of Melbourne Tigers used to come in and gamble at Crown. Fucking cunt. I remember I used to hate when the season was over because he'd come in and start gambling. Like, oh, fuck, season's finished.
I remember, was Adelaide another team in the final series this year? And
if you
Adelaide
say
lost.
So, it's most likely Perth.
I think it was Perth.
They always seem to be in the finals.
Mm. Yep. Yeah.
And your beer of the week, since we remembered?
We're going to go, I forgot last time, but we got a few different things coming up. We're going to do some video stuff. But this week it's a Kasha Corbin D double IPA, a real nice full body. One out of Sydney. So I think, not much good coming out of Sydney at the moment, so may as well drown the sorrows with a bit of Akasha. Good dudes, little small place up there. So
don't know what you're talking about.
What the fuck's Akasha
4-in-1?
I don't know.
It's a spray, isn't it?
I got no idea. I don't know. I don't see the cans. I see it over tap. So yeah, fuck knows what it looks like.
And Josh, you got a highlight of the week?
Well, two actually. Garner, his screamer, which I thought was absolute highlight for a game that didn't have many of them. And the fact he tapped Sandilands on the head just to let him know that, oi mate, I'm here to play.
I saw the top of it, yep. That's the second best mark of the weekend. Not a bad one.
Oh, come on. He had it on tap. He was hosed.
I think the only game they played under the roof, wasn't it? So everyone else in the wet.
And the other one being that Collingwood lost. So
just in general? It's always
well, I've got a flair bet going that Buckley won't last till round 17.
I think I've
set my line pretty well because if he lasts beyond 15, he'll probably go the season.
Yeah,
but 17, I think, is about when, with five matches to go, they start going, all right, caretaker coach time. Let's put someone else in, and we'll go looking around for a bloke that we've already found.
I like
anyway.
That line. Did you have to negotiate that line or
Chinese betting? No, I arrogantly stepped out and say he won't last the season, and someone else has gone, oh, he'll last a fair chunk of it, and I've thrown in around 17. And then,
so just on a whim.
just pretty much. Okay. I wish I put as much thought into it now that I can to justify that.
No, don't put thought into anything because you're kicking goals without putting any thought into it. But I think that's the time where sort of all the puzzles start, pieces start moving, all the puzzles. So you find the lay of the land and who's really available and who's not.
Unless
so.
They're really bad, because I think Malthouse got sacked in round 8 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was, he should have got sacked before round 1.
Let's be honest, and he wasn't really beloved.
No.
Well, they loved him when he took Daisy away from there, so got rid of the shit.
Yeah, Collingwood loved him, not Carlton, unfortunately.
Yep.
Well, my highlight, and this is weird, all three of us have picked football highlights, which probably says not much.
I usually try and make a point not to do a football one, because most people listen to watch football anyway. So.
Yeah, and the next half an hour is about footy.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go for the simple Ruffy kicking goal number 500. Everyone's banged on about everything he's gone through and his comeback. Not to just play again, because I thought he might have been doing a McCartney.
Yeah.
You know, play the one and done.
Yeah.
But, got made captain. He finally gets to sing the song, and he's kicked goal number 500 on the same weekend that Buddy kicks 800.
Yeah.
So not a bad little effort.
Yeah, but with the Sydney cost of living allowance, that's more like, 600 Melbourne.
Yeah, exactly, 600 out of Melbourne.
So what would he actually do if he couldn't play football? Like, see, do you know if he's got any skills or anything else, or is he pretty much fucked?
He's a redhead, so.
I would say he's an ugly motherfucker, so.
he seems pretty cluey. So I have no idea what qualifications he's got, but all the players tend to get some level of qualification these days.
Yeah, I've got a feeling like not football, because you've got to say, what will they do? They go coach, media, or something entirely different.
Kicking cancer's ass.
I don't think he'll be going to coaching. He just doesn't seem the type. And I've seen him on the Footy Show, and even he, like, I remember one episode of the Footy Show, right at the end, he's on, I've been shit.
I reckon as well, like, sort of being on the brink of, dying would give you a different perspective on life as well. So maybe you're like, there's actually more I want to do outside of football.
Well, he could be, say, a corporate ambassador for, say, Peter Mack or...
Definitely.
Something like that, maybe. Or maybe he's, I don't know, got an architect's fucking degree or something.
He could be a fucking genius, to be honest. Who knows?
He could be. He's probably not. anyway, so we may as well talk about the footy then. The long week of footy that it was. And if you cast your mind back all the way to Friday, we had Port Adelaide giving the absolute towel up to Carlton. I was very happy with this because I put the tips in. I was talking to somebody just before I left work. Yep. And they went, it might be close, you know. Carlton might thump them. I was like, geez, mate, it's going to be north of 80.
Yep.
And then I looked at my tips and I'd picked the margin like 40. I said, well, I better put my money where my mouth is, change the margin to 80-odd.
Well, it's easy to be confident against a team that's interstate because you've got no supporters that are really going to give it back to you. So,
well, and Carlton had outs before they went in, including Cruiser, who's been playing a lot this year.
Yeah.
So they're always going to struggle, but it got embarrassing towards the end.
No, I was the same. I went to the tipping software we use, the website, ESPN or whatever it is, and then it lets you go like 10, 25, 50. And then you've got to enter it after that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I reckon it's going to be on 50. Yeah. People are like, really? I'm like, I'll go 80. And in the end, I undersold.
Yeah, I'm going to say it was 90 in the end.
The thing is, there are lots of standout performance support, but it's really hard to really give it too much credit when you're playing Carlton.
Well, was it the third quarter where Robbie Gray kicked 3 goals, 4 or something stupid like that? It's almost the best quarter of a player ever.
Well, the thing is, if you just say that he kicked 5 goals, that sounds, that's a good effort for Robbie Gray. Yeah. When he kicked 4 behinds as well, you're like, holy shit, you're playing Carlton, you should have done better than that.
again, it didn't really get out of first gear for him.
Yeah.
But
I feel like the bag of goals, the standard for a bag of goals is lowered these days. Like, it's around 5 or 6.
Yeah, if you get 5, a handful, that's heaps.
So there are a few this round, which was exciting.
Yeah.
Ollie Wines with 35.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. There's a few of the players around Robbie Gray that have started to...
Jackson Trengrove got a few off-field touches too.
there's a few of the players that have started to rise to complement Robbie Gray.
Yeah.
Because we said before, he's thinking too fast for them and moving too fast for them. He's far too good.
Well, Ollie Wines has been injured as well. He's had some injury issues.
He still played most of last year.
Yeah. He's been on a steady development curve though. He's always been improving this year.
Yeah. I think he's outstanding, to be honest. When he and Gray are in sync, they're fucking tough to beat.
Yeah, it's just getting the other team in sync with Gray. Because he tends to be... I would bet that he would make a great coach. He seems to have that vision, you know what I mean?
Robbie Gray?
Yeah.
I don't know. I reckon he might be one of those ones that demands the players be like him.
Yeah.
And you know, like Larry Bird was never a good coach. Because he's like, just do this. Well, I can't. Well, I fucking could.
I still can. Here you go.
Yeah. It could be. I don't know. But, it was pedestrian, I think, from Port for most of it. But Casbolt took some nice grabs and started to kick a few straight.
That's 4-1. That's the best return I've seen from him.
That's been one shining light for Carlton to hang their hat on as well, is finally got someone up there who's going to hit goals, but that's to keep it consistent as well. With Cruiser out hurt, though, Paddy Ryder killed him in the ruck.
Oh, always going to. 6-11, Carlton kicked, and Caswell gets 4-1 of them. So you'd say he's done his job.
I've looked it up, not to embarrass, because, you know, we always talk shit and pull stats out of our ass. How many games do you reckon Ollie played last year?
7.
Over or under, Josh? Over or under on 7?
Over.
Yeah, 22. He played all of them. I think the year before he was pretty injured, though.
Vic bias this shit.
I think he's a Vic boy too, isn't he? Because he was Jack Viney's mate.
Ah, was he really?
Yeah.
That's right,
And Melbourne missed the chance on him. But you imagine those two running in the midfield together.
Yeah.
They'd absolutely kill it. I thought for Carlton, though, I mean, what do? You just go, nah, it was a way to port. We're always going to lose, whatever. Just wipe it out.
And what you do is you throw some money at Doherty, try and keep him in the fold because he's the only one that's been putting his hand out week in, week out.
Before this game, I thought they've been okay. Like, the endeavour maybe, but not the skills.
Yeah, they just don't have the cattle, not a good team at the moment. So yeah,
that too.
It's a bit of rebuilding.
It's funny that of all the games this round, this was the game with the most hyphenated players.
Really? How many hyphens you got in there?
Three.
Powell Pepper.
Burn Jones.
And Petrescu Seaton.
Yeah. So I can't think of a game that had more than three.
So no, oh, damn it. I thought Petrescu Seaton might have been on port as well.
How do you get hyphenated names? Is that when like the one person that gets married doesn't want to...
Yeah, that's
pretty good. Yeah, well, generally it's when two people of established families join together and they want to show that they have influence from both sides of the family. So you have...
Just make up a brand new name. Fuck the hyphenation. Just come up with, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's not... That doesn't keep the old money influence from your family name.
I want to know what happens when a hyphen marries a hyphen.
Yeah, I'm yet to see this.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's happened.
Well, maybe they just inbreed once they get one hyphen and then so just they can keep the same hyphen.
I don't know.
Well, what if
the money in the family?
What if, like, it was Lewis Roberts Thompson? What if he married a Thompson? Do they become Roberts Thompson Thompson
or Thompson Roberts
Thompson? I think Thompson Roberts Thompson.
Thompson Roberts Thompson. Yeah, it's a good law firm.
Anything I've learned from watching late night TV is class TRP. Action law firms usually like Thompson and Thompson. They're never just Thompson and they're just, you know, guess what's run.
Thompson squared.
Yeah.
Well, I've been watching Suits, and I think that means I've got just as much qualification in that. And they change names every six episodes, that law firm. But anyway. So Port flogged him like everyone thought. On to Saturday, which turned out to be an all right game. Bulldogs and the Lions. the Lions were just so deadly accurate.
Well, this is the thing about this round is that most of the games were interesting and got you vested in there because they were generally close. The skills are shit.
Now that we've got out of the Port Carlton game.
Yeah.
There was more interest than I thought.
Yeah.
Well, in the Sydney GWS
Pretty much every game had me watching, you know what I mean? This one, I mean, I was watching for a different reason because I couldn't believe that Western Bulldogs could be that inaccurate at Etihad Stadium. It was almost like the fix was in.
Felt like it at times.
It's like we could make a fuck ton of money by getting Brisbane to beat us.
the
Bob Murphy's 300, fuck it.
The Lions did show a bit here, though, I felt.
Well, they always do. It's just you usually get spread and run over because they just don't have enough people to pick up sort of the talent. Well, but
it was really the last 5 minutes.
The last quarter. I mean, I don't think they... Did they score a goal in the final quarter?
Yeah. It went back and forth for a bit.
Back and forth, yeah. And then they got just ran out of legs. Yeah. But, I mean, their accuracy was crazy to give them the lead early on. But the Bulldogs, they've been like that this year. They're we know what to do. Just don't hassle us. Look, fourth quarter.
Yep.
Who wins at the end of the fourth quarter wins the game. We'll worry about it then.
I think they kicked six goals in the last 8 minutes or something.
Yeah, just piled.
It's like rocking up to exam without studying. They just winged it. Yeah. We'll figure it out by the fourth quarter. Do you reckon Johansson looks like Josh Koscheck?
Ah, Koscheck. Yeah. Apparently, he's modelled his haircut off an NFL player. I don't know enough about NFL, but they showed the side-by-side and go, oh, yep. That's that haircut.
Colin Kaepernick?
I wouldn't claim to model off Josh Koscheck, let's be honest.
Is he still fighting?
I think he's in Bellator. Yeah. It might be doing one more fight and that's it.
Well, earlier we were talking about Roughhead, you know, what he does after footy. I don't know what Koscheck does after fighting. Like, I imagine he just keeps fighting, just on the street, in the line to Starbucks, Subway, whatever.
No, I think...
Get a job at Home Depot.
He's kind of... He's the antagonistic... Who would only fight for money. I reckon he sees like that.
Well, now that's what he's saying. He's saying, I don't care about the belt or whatever. Just like, I want the old motherfuckers from UFC to come over to Bellator so we can have just like, you know, old school fights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could you imagine him in WWE though?
Yeah. Yeah. He's a cocky shit.
Yeah.
I don't know if he could act.
Yeah.
To be fair, there were plenty of old school wrestlers that were less faking what was actually happening and more... punching the fuck out of people in the face.
Could you imagine if he was told to be the good guy, though? All right, go there and be a good guy. All right, cunts, listen up. Okay, you're a bad guy. Yep, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, Josh, good guys don't take a shit on their opponent's chest. Not in the middle of the ring, anyway.
Oh, well. Jakey Stringer had a good one, and so did Eric Hipwood. He's played really well this year. We've noticed it in a few games. Skinny lad, looks like he's out listening to some emo punk during the... fucking downtime.
But Jared Leto or something.
I was going to name a band, then I thought, all the bands I know fucking broke up in the 90s.
So how do you see Stringer going so far? Because this season he's been quite in and out.
Yeah, he attacks it well. Like the Sydney game, he kicks some ripper goals from the goal square.
Yeah,
he loves Etihad.
He's a moment player for me.
Yeah,
like a Stevie J.
I think with all the part-time goal kickers, that's allowed him to not have so much pressure on him to have to present every single time. So he's more able to play his own game, which is a flashy, not a whole lot of defense, but just try and kick goals in and out of packs, take hangers, without it being sort of a detriment to the team.
He's a younger, taller Stevie J.
Yeah. He's taller than Stevie J, is he?
He probably would be. Probably. He's got a bigger leap.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about that.
Yep.
I thought Zane Cordy down back. He's playing that role rather well because obviously they're still missing, what's his name, Roughhead?
Yeah.
Jordan. Yeah, went blank for a second there. Who's sort of the ruckman / centre half back when they need him.
Yeah.
So taking out a key defender and providing some real rebound, he's been really good.
Yeah.
Hmm. One player I think is emerging too is young Dunkley.
Kicked 3 goals straight. Which is unusual for him because his old man was a shit kick. I don't think his old man kicked 3 goals in his career.
Oh, I'd be shocked if he did.
Yeah. I wonder if they were set shots or on the run because I've noticed that his set shots, well, I'm not making this up, but from my memory, set shots weren't that great. Well, I do. But maybe they're on the run or something like that. It seems like he's getting better each game, though, more confident
because
there's not much to him. So, and obviously, being the son of a famous footballer, there'd be a little bit of a target on your back. You know, everyone's want to just let you know about it if you fuck up.
I think it just means the rest of the players know what they're going to sledge you about.
Well, that's it. It's just something that beforehand. You've forgot to say, yeah.
Whereas,
pissing off.
Otherwise, the others walk into it going, right, what am I going to sledge him about?
Yep.
His ears look funny. Done.
The old Mark War sledge.
Yeah, the best player in my family.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. He's definitely the best kick in his family, put it that way, already. On to the other game at Metricon Stadium. So Gold Coast hosting Adelaide. I thought Gold Coast might have put up a little bit of a fight.
Adelaide are a tough fucking side.
Adelaide, by far, the clear favourite for the flag at the minute. And the fourth side. Just ran away. Had too many guns. I never thought Gold Coast was going to win. But I thought, they might, take it up to them.
That's one thing about the Adelaide team is they don't take their foot off the gas.
No.
And, like...
I mean, this is away, but especially at home.
It's great. I mean, it's great to see someone do it, but I hate it when my team doesn't do it. So it sucks to see a team like Adelaide just be able to do it week in, week out.
You'll find out this week.
Yeah.
And it's funny to me when you get... Adelaide have so many avenues forward. Like, Walker gets held back a bit. He got 2-1. But they still get goals out of Menzel and Lynch.
Well, I mean, Lynch is the...
And Otten, sorry.
He's got an 11-goal haul on his record. All right, it was against a shit GWS side in their first or second year. And Eddie Betts does Eddie Betts things.
Yep.
So
who did they put on Betts? Was it Miller?
20 bucks?
No, Sard.
Sard went on there?
They put Sard on him for a little bit.
I think that's the only player who can hold him.
Well, I mean, he's been held before, but I mean, out of... Gold Coast? Yeah.
If you're Gold Coast, he's the only player with a chance.
Yeah. I'd like to give him that challenge too.
Yeah. It was also good to see Calamachi kick a little bag.
Yep.
Like I said, it was a good weekend for handfuls.
Our five bags. Bag of five.
A handful.
Yeah.
I know you don't rate Rory Sloan too much, but his game on the weekend was pretty fucking awesome.
Oh, fucking earth it was. And if he's not in double figures for Brownlow votes... I'll be surprised.
And we didn't rate him at the start of the season.
Yeah.
After round one, he's been absolutely killing it.
Yeah. Like I said, watching the Hawthorn game, I thought he wasn't the best on ground. But when I went back and thought, he was pretty good. I still don't have him as best on ground. But he killed it in this one. And I think they've still got Scott Thompson coming through the sample.
Is he really?
So he's coming back from a long term, I think.
Yeah, I mean.
So they've got more beef to come.
Between the Rorys and the Atkins, they've got almost 200 possessions.
Not a bad effort.
Yeah.
And the Cratchers, sorry. Fuck. I fucked that up. Between the Rorys and the Cratchers.
Right. Anyway, they had the ball on a string.
You could pick five random players that probably have more possessions than Brisbane anyway.
Than Gold Coast, yeah.
Gold Coast, sorry.
Fuck it, Brisbane too.
Ablett's been quiet for a couple of weeks. Do you think he's... People are paying more mind to him now, or
if he pushes his price up too much, we better get back to Geelong.
Could be that too.
Okay. I think he's just timing his run. Like he knows that a big game against Adelaide, they still lose.
I mean, he did have 33 touches, but a lot of them were small.
Yeah,
I think he's a smart player. He's a veteran now, so he's going to know that. All right, if I'm really going to have a day out, I want to have a day out where we win. So he's going to time it against probably against North, actually.
Keeping his powder dry. Yeah.
Well, the thing with Abbott is, as well, he's consistently in the top tacklers in the Gold Coast team as well. So he's not like he's slacking off. He's always trying to win possession and doing his part.
I think that means the rest of them are shit.
I think it does, actually.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but you're probably right.
Do you think Gold Coast can come back from this? Or is it just Adelaide are just absolutely... They're monsters of the league.
I think it's a blip. Adelaide are a monster side with winners on every fucking line. Like their back line, brilliant. They'll have at least one All-Australian rep out of that. Midfield, same joy. One or two All-Australians. And forward, probably another one or two there.
I would be surprised. At the minute, they've probably got six All-Australians.
Where are Adelaide's club rooms in Adelaide?
Well, they were down at West Lakes, but these days, I presume Adelaide Oval.
They've got club rooms in there, do they?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't know if they moved everything.
I was wondering, maybe they've got a shit club room. That's what I'm going to hang on
them. On to one of the weirdest games of the weekend, Sydney versus Sydney. A little bit of spite in it. I think the rivalry is actually real for a change. It's good that it finally got there. They had to play finals first,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Turns out losing makes you angry.
Yeah, it does. The commentators banged on about it for ages, but to get four goals on the board before the other teams even touch the ball, not a fucking bad effort, let's be honest. But it's essentially a handicap.
It was a rope-a-dope.
Yeah. And then not to kick another goal for half an hour or so.
Yep. Someone did the job. The rest of them went, fuck it, he can take care of it.
it's almost like they didn't run out.
Well, GWS tend to do that, though, don't they? They're always a bit slow starting.
Sometimes, I don't know. It was amazing to watch, though, because Sydney, just everything they did worked.
Yeah.
For 4 minutes.
Yeah. Well,
the funny part to me was that Sydney got the first four goals to four different goal kickers within 5 minutes, and then the next six scores were behinds for GWS.
Yeah, they were getting there.
Three of them were Cameron's.
Yeah, he had a bit of a wayward one. But once GWS sort of got their head around it, they were so methodical.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what... Yeah. Hate to see with them because they're still young and all the players are still developing. It's not like they're at their peak yet, and so it's kind of scary to see how they're going to be. It's going to be GWS and Adelaide taking over the league now. The dynasties from Melbourne are pretty much done.
I think you're spot on, Das. They were very methodical, very professional, timed everything perfectly.
And Big Mumford had a day out too.
Well,
60 odd hit outs.
He was always going to
Sinclair just monstered.
He's not an A grade ruck, and neither is Tippett.
No.
First game back, was it?
Yeah, first game. Did he do himself a mischief in round one?
Might have been round one. I can't remember.
It was round one or two.
Yeah.
It was first game back. It was hot for, the first 5 minutes, the rest of the side.
Yep.
And then you could have easily forgot he was out there.
Did Papley get injured during the game or something? Because
I didn't see it.
He seemed to do fuck all, and he's been one that I thought has been all right.
Well, he had an all right game.
He's a goal sneak on the rise. Like last year, every time he touched the ball, it looked like he was trying to kick a goal.
Yeah.
Which is good. There's nothing wrong with that. I like it about him.
Yep.
And I think he kicked a couple, didn't he?
Yeah. He got one of the first four. He got one third goal or something.
Yeah. I thought he kicked one of the first ones because it was a nice little snap, and it was one of those ones where he didn't even look.
Yeah.
He knew exactly where it was going.
Well, I think it's a bit crowded with Heaney coming back as well. They've got a lot of people who can do that, but it still doesn't matter if they can't get the ball in their forward 50.
Well, it was funny. I thought that Heaney and Mills, they're two... Academy picks. One got a Rising Star nomination. The other one probably would have got... a Rising Star win. The other one probably would have got it if he didn't do his knee. I thought they made a lot of mistakes on the day and turned the ball over a lot. And it's probably down to pressure and, hesitation and, am I going to go here? I'll go there. Oh, and it's too late.
Yeah.
But the back line was a bit of a trouble for Sydney.
Do we dare put a line through them? Because I know they've got an easy run coming up from now on.
Yeah, they've got an easy run. They'll sort it out and they'll turn themselves into a bit of flat track bullies and start to beat down on some of the lesser sides.
So, Josh, since you're the expert, what round do we start calling for Longmire's head? What's the break even?
Well, being in Sydney, less media scrutiny. And being a New South Wales boy, I think probably around round 16, 15, 16.
I think we start campaigning for it. Just really sink the boots into Sydney.
Well, I think we spend the first 4 weeks telling the Sydney media who John Longmire is, and then we'll try and work out how to get him in the bad books.
I say, they're used to NRL people who are fucking loose, so it's pretty hard to get fired from the AFL.
Well, this
team
is true. This is true. Unless he's, pissing on a pet or something. And even then, I think it's only frowned upon.
I think that guy still plays, doesn't he?
I think he plays at England.
Todd Carney?
That rings a bell. Oh, that could be it. Yeah.
No, he was the one that pissed into his own mouth.
Right, okay. I could Google
it. Well, you could be the one that fucked the dog. I don't know. I'm worried about Googling that shit and just putting it...
end up on a list.
Well, you end up with targeted ads, and then they're like, hey, do you want this? Like, no, really don't.
What do you get, mouthwash? That'd be an interesting targeted.
There'd be pet adoptions and...
Do you want to be a high court judge?
I thought that... God, what's his name? Haynes for GWS. Then he had a really good game. Again, a lot of hustle. And he's one of those players where he gets the ball, he's like, right, which target's 50 metres away that I can get to? Yeah. None of this short shit. I'm going for the long ones.
He's like a
talented Bashahuli.
Yeah, I don't mind it either most of the time. And, you know, with GWS, you've got lads that can run onto it.
As long as it's a conscious choice and not the only thing you're good at.
Yeah, well...
So as long as you can say, all right, the best option is to kick along, not just, got the ball, kick it along!
Well, Robert Harvey made a whole, 300-odd games out of it.
Waste his whole career, St. Kilda.
Matty Scarlett.
Scarlett,
that's the one.
Yeah.
No, I thought he did it right. And did you see, too, there was one part where the umpire told him to give the ball back to the GWS player. He's like, which one? He goes, number 40.
Yeah. Yep. It was his second game or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Kennedy, it was, because I remember the saying there was two Sam Reeds out there and a couple of Kennedys and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I think it happened more than once over the weekend. It was in one of the other games. They said, give it a number 43.
Yeah. It was too. It was a different game. It was the Melbourne game.
It might have been, it might have been last
second
night.
Game players for Melbourne.
Yeah, not learning his name until the umpires do.
Yeah.
Smith?
I can't remember. Toby Green kicked 4 goals. Where is he in the Coleman at the moment? Because he's been pretty consistent with these 4 or 5s.
I think he's probably in the top 5. Have you got the list there?
I was looking for it, but I've given up now.
He's coming off an all Australian season last year.
He's coming third with 17.
There you go.
Eddie Betts leading on 19, followed by Hawkins 18, Green and Cameron 17, 16.
I picked Hawkins at the start of the year.
He's doing well.
There's always a small forward that leads it at or about the halfway mark. So it'd be interesting to see if they can curb Eddie, or if he's just going to get his 3 and 4s every week. And
Big Buddy not in the top 10.
Yeah,
well, he's 11.
Well, Sydney are 0-5.
When Adelaide are kicking 25 goals a game, there's plenty to go around.
Exactly. Yeah, and he's not. Eddie's not being a hog either. It's not like, I need to get my goals.
He's he gets 9 possessions and kicks 5 goals.
He kind of is in a way, but he kicks them. Like those running the pocket kicks. If you're a coach talking to a junior, you'd be like, don't fucking do that. But when he does it every game and puts it right through the middle, it's not a freak action for him.
It's
standard.
I was going to say, the coach should be saying, if Eddie's got the ball there, don't fucking ask for it.
There used to be a Broken Hill. I know I hate name dropping Broken Hill players, but there was a basketball player in Broken Hill who, on whenever he was on a fast break, used to pull up for threes.
Yeah.
So, all right, you know who it is. Yep.
He was actually my coach for a little while.
Was he?
Yeah.
I'm very surprised.
Well, our coach always get ejected from the game, so he finally went, you know what, let's get a new coach.
And they, after a while, I think the coach just went, you know what, you do what you want.
Yeah.
If you're hitting them, good on you.
Yep.
Steph Curry style. But yeah, Sydney 0-5. Losers. 0 wins. if they're 5-5 in after round 10, I would not be surprised at all.
Mm.
It's got to change for them sooner or later, doesn't it?
Well, I can't really see where they're going wrong or what the fix is, because I don't really understand where they're going wrong, because it looks like they've got a good squad. They're just getting outmatched each game.
They're getting killed in the midfield, which is their strength. Mm. The back line's always been their weakness. Yeah. So.
Like the ruck rules have really destroyed their A game.
You reckon? You reckon it's ruck?
I think, they don't really have a key alpha ruckman.
No.
Yeah. They had Dan Curvis, didn't they?
And hasn't he been brilliant? But I'm sure we'll chat about him for about an hour and a half. But they need a decent ruckman, because previously around the ground, they're able to get it down to their gun midfielders. And now they can't do that. Well, they don't have first touch to it, at least.
Well, I think, they've been able to neutralise.
Yeah, by the third man up sort of thing. I mean, Geelong were sort of famous for it, but Sydney were doing it quite regularly as well. So I think that's really hurt them. I don't see it getting much better, but I see their midfield being able to shark it a bit better coming into the next few months.
I did see there was some paper that had to go at Kieran Jack. saying that his output this year has been way down.
Yeah.
And I think they said that, you know, interrupted pre-seasons, blah, blah, blah. I hate that as an excuse.
Yeah, so do I.
Because if you're not right, then you're not playing.
Yep.
Like, go finish your pre-season. Do a proper
one. Yeah, like an interrupted pre-season. I would think, obviously, your pre-season, you're trying to get yourself, you know, training and whatever, get yourself fit. But surely you don't lose that much fitness over the off-season. I mean, as a professional, surely you always got that eye on getting better and better because you want to win.
No, it's the building of the blocks, though, because when you've got preseason, you're doing an anaerobic base, so you're doing long, hard yards and working on your endurance running, because that's the hardest part to sort of develop.
Yeah.
And then after you've done that long block, which might be for AFL players, might be a month and a half or 2 months, then you start working on your aerobic threshold, and then you start working on your VO2 max sprint, because that's the part that drops off the quickest, is your sprint. So there's no point doing sprints in the preseason, because that burst fitness drains away very quickly as well.
Yeah, so why are they shit?
Because when you've got the broken up preseason,
shit VO2 max, obviously.
When you've got the broken up preseason, you don't get the full base to build upon.
Should they drink Red Bull?
Yes, absolutely.
There you go. That's all that they have to do. That's all they have to do.
Explains all the cocaine they've been taking. That's for the fourth quarter blues.
See another West Coast legend or West Coast player from the era.
Well, don't tell me it was Brett Hedy.
No.
To call him a player is stretching it.
Well,
he was on the list.
He was a younger lad, and well, according to his lawyers, he was told, get on it or get out. So he got on the gear with the boys, which, you know, if you're going to party, probably the club in the era to be at.
If you're going to do it right.
And he decided to rob a bank or a 7-Eleven or some shit.
Yeah, okay, so his story's probably bullshit.
Yeah.
But say what you need to try and get off, don't you? Like, I got no problems with him giving it a go.
Well, yeah, the two other blokes with him don't have that excuse. They're just like, we were just, no.
Yeah, but this is how it all started for me. Anyways, it's not a week goes by.
They spiked my clenbuterol with cocaine.
Somebody spiked my 14 drinks. On to the Dockers hosting North. And North, again, the Endeavour has been there this year. They've just lacked the poise and maybe experience, which, again, no need to go through.
People in jumpers.
Mate, how good is this? A 0-5 start. Last time we did that, we won the flag.
Yep. I dare say the last time you won that and won the flag will be the last time you do that and win the flag.
It's 1975 all over again.
Of course it is.
What's Ross Glendinning doing these days?
Just couldn't quite hang on, which has been the way that North have done it.
Yeah.
Well, all look. Year. I'm no AFL footballer, which we've established with no end of proof. But if I'm kicking out in full back and I see on one side, the side that we've been going to more often than not, they've got Sandilands and Fife standing there, I reckon there might be an idea to kick the other fucking end.
So not to the 7-footer?
Yeah. Not to the big fucking bloke. We've got no ruckman around him. And you've got Ben Brown wandering around like a fucking lost dog.
You just want to tire him out. And the fourth quarter he fades. That's when you run him over.
That's it.
Yeah, probably this was about a minute
Keep
and a half
to go. Keep making stuff. It's like the lay and pray of AFL.
But yeah, I mean, look, it was a pretty good game effort-wise for most of it.
It was an interesting game. It was exciting to watch because it was close.
Yeah.
And because you knew North Melbourne were going to fuck it up somehow.
I think that was the theme of the weekend was. It might not have been highly skilled, but it was tight and hard and close.
Yeah.
But I mean, how many highly skilled games do we actually see per season? Maybe 4, 5?
I need one every 2 weeks.
Well, mine used to be going to the Hawthorn game, but now they're shit, so I don't think I actually see any skilled games during the AFL season, to be honest.
We need somebody to come up against Adelaide and give them a fair shake. Like, it should have been GWS in round one, but
yeah,
it was not to be.
And the thing is, Adelaide have been good away from home now, so you don't even have that excitement of waiting until they come to the MCG because they've been dominating there. Like, the more space, the better they are.
Yeah.
I wonder if playing at Adelaide Oval has helped them transition to a better game strategy at MCG because they're bigger ovals.
It's wider, is it, than Footy Park?
Yeah, I'm going with that. I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, because it
makes a good story.
It's a cricket ground.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much a circle.
Probably. But I didn't know. I thought Footy Park was always very circular, I thought. Well, I can't remember. Long time ago.
Don't want to remember Footy Park. It was a shit place to watch footy if you weren't a Crows supporter.
Yeah, back when I played there, it was I felt it was more narrow.
It was so shit. Malcolm Blight left halfway through the game.
Yep.
But back to this one. Centerlands dominated in the ruck too. We know that Goldstein's been working through injuries. It might be age and injuries a little bit as well.
I don't know why they rested Prius.
I was going to ask. Yeah. He's not injured, is he?
No,
I would love to take him over there.
Yeah. And that was the only thing I was looking forward to about this game, was seeing Prius versus Sandy.
Yeah.
Just because it's, you know, you've got the old monster who traditionally does give Goldstein a touch up because he's more physical.
You'd expect him to beat Prus, but you'd want Prus to get that experience. So, yeah. Right, mate, that's how big they get.
I think Prius would have done a better job against him than Goldstein. Goldstein tends to try and run him off his feet.
Yeah.
And Sandilands is an old hat. He's approaching 300 games now.
He's 31, I believe.
Oh, shit. He's only 31.
He wouldn't be 300. He'd be 200 games.
200 something.
I reckon.
I know he's played a lot more than you think. He's been surprisingly durable for a big lad, except for last season. But
he had his turf toe for a couple of years. Remember years ago, and I thought he was done then.
Yeah, that'd be a shit way to go down. Forced retirement due to turf toe.
Well, I mean, it's the 7-footer's lament, isn't it? They always get a weird injury and fucks them up.
But I am confused why they didn't take Prius along.
Yeah, it was. Did he? I don't know if you checked out like the VFL, how he went or anything.
I don't think he played in Werribee. Werribee got smashed. This is the thing that shits me about North's PR. Every week it's like, oh, so-and-so did brilliant in the VFL, so-and-so did really well. And it's like, oh, but we got smashed by 10 goals.
Yeah.
Fucking what?
That's
16 AFL-listed players in Werribee and got done by Footscray, which were the reigning premiers.
Yeah,
but
even
so, to get done by, it would have been at least 10 goals from memory.
I just looked at Sandilands plays 250 this week.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So he's got more than you think.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I thought he was coming up towards 200.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, he spent years with injury woes. But, yeah, it's funny, though, the VFL write-ups, because I read Box Hill's ones. I'm like, oh, yeah, he had a good game, he had a good game, he had a good game. I'm like, he got 14 touches.
Mm.
I mean, yeah, anyway.
They're probably not watching the games, to be honest.
It's all very positive, anyway.
I think one of the bright points for North have been the consistency of Ben Cunnington. He's been standing up and just trying to be that physical presence there to not be pushed over and not let the other team just roll over him.
Well, let's be honest.
Doesn't always work out, but...
He's trying to be Dusty Martin, and I don't mind that.
That's all right.
Especially if North actually do get Dusty Martin there. Those two blokes would probably get along like a house on fire and just push every other motherfucker in the face.
Set a few houses on fire.
Probably.
How do you think he'll go in the midfield with Jake Kelly? Worry about Jake Kelly. I wouldn't be too concerned with old Dusty. I got a feeling Dusty's going to stay right where he is.
I think he has to.
Marley Williams had a good game again, I thought.
He's been very handy.
Yeah.
Like a couple of sprayed kicks, but, you know, Backman, that happens.
Yeah. Like I said, he was one I had an eye on at the start of the season. I see he's going to have a breakout year.
But I think he's suffering a little bit from Thomas's lament of getting him and Mullet.
Can't blame shit on Daniel Wells anymore.
No, but he can blame shit on Mullet. Because they both got sleeved hats, although Mullet's only got one.
Yeah, that's right.
So whenever someone spuds it up, Mullet seems to get forgiven, because they're like, fucking Marley Williams. It's like, that was Mullet, that little fucker.
That's why I love North fans. They've got no excuse to be like Sydney, but they are.
There's also Lindsay Thomas was very quiet. With all the players that they lost over the last season, I thought Lindsay would be the one to move more into the midfield and lift his game. But like you said, Cunnington's done it. He's always been a midfielder, but he's lifted his game. Lindsay's been very disappointing a couple of weeks in a row.
He's thinking of liability.
Thinking of a small army to remove Lindsay Thomas from a goal square.
Yeah.
Well, he did start off the half back at one stage.
He got lost. You're lost.
No, he had a really good run. Really good run through the middle. Managed to pick it up, get it along. And then for some reason, they moved him back forward.
Well, maybe they didn't have a choice. He just wandered down there. We got one possession.
Maybe went down the wrong end.
We're improving.
He got a bit lost, ended up the wrong end. Fuck it, I'm going straight back. And just ended up, the ball was there.
He's gone from, you know, a liability at the start of his career to exceptionally good. Mm. I thought this year he's going to be, you know, cement himself, leader of the club and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
But the last 2 weeks especially, failing to take the game in his 200th.
Yeah.
And then this week, you know, did he touch the ball? Yeah.
Well, the thing with this game was that even though they were obviously, the pressure was on them towards the end of the game, they still didn't have an excuse for losing that game.
Yeah.
They didn't shut it down when they needed to. Made real dumb decisions.
Thomas didn't score and had 6 touches.
There you go. Yeah, 6 touches. I remember, because I didn't watch the game live, but when I was watching Bay, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's out there. Yeah, yeah.
He did have a brilliant rundown tackle.
Yep. Good.
But, you know, still not enough from what a 200
gamer.
Yeah, what should be an A-level he should be looking to be in the All-Australian team. He's not, and he's not anywhere near that standard at the moment. But that should be his personal goal, to be considered in that conversation. Whereas no one from North is really in that conversation.
I did like in the post-match, Ross Lyon said, eventually things turn for you. You know, he's saying Freo are now 3-2. You know, eventually things come around for you. What he really means is eventually we'll play the shit sides at home.
He's like, I got 6 years. I got time.
I got tenure. I don't give a fuck.
Well, the other thing is, too, we had another hyphen debutante in Eddie Vickers-Willis.
Vickers-Willis, who was impressive in preseason.
Yeah, he was actually pretty good this game, I thought. Like, didn't look lost, managed to have a bit of an impact. And Mason Woods back from injury, which was quite good. He ran through the game. Neither of them did anything superstar level, but they were contributors.
Presented well, as I say, with Mason.
Yeah. Just need a whole team to do that, and you might actually be able to play four quarters.
I mean, what I liked is there's a lot of Chris Judd about Eddie Vickers-Willis, and I say that based on his shoulder strapping.
There you go.
Because those fuckers were strapped right in.
You got to look after yourself, don't you?
Well, he gave it a fair go. I think it's cost the club around $40,000 a year out of strapping, but that's just what they build him for.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's what Boomer's doing. He's selling strapping now.
Elastoplast. And Robbie Tarrant, I thought, was the best for North. He was just solid as a rock down there. But he's having a great season.
0-5 for North, but I still think it's been a positive year. Like, I don't think anybody thought they were going to make finals at the start of the year.
Brad Scott does, apparently.
Yeah, well, they did a good job of taking the wind out of the sails in pre-season, so there's no expectations, which, man, could be a genius stroke.
I think they well and truly knew where they were headed. But I think that, you know, you can be 0-5 and be deplorable.
Yeah.
I think, you know, they've had a chance in every game.
Well, I think for them, you're just looking to who's going to step up, who's going to be who you build your club around for the next 3 or 4 years in regards to who you're going to recruit. So who's going to be the solid sort of structure of the team, who's going to be the heart of the team, and what player is going to have the skill to be able to come through and own their roles.
Prius is the only one I can see being alpha level. Mason Woods has potential.
There's a few young lads there.
Yeah, and Dumont's been okay, but in terms of ability to change a game, Prius is the only freak.
Yeah.
Jed Anderson, if he ever gets not injured.
Next week he's back, apparently.
He's always had a good rap. Even when he's at Hawks, for some reason I got a feeling he played some good games and showed lots of promise. That's just what I remember.
Yeah, yeah. He kicked some nice goals. But they always had big raps about him, but he had pneumonia, he had fucking hamstrings, ribs.
Hasn't he got like four kids or something?
I don't know if it's four, but he definitely has a couple.
How old is he?
23, something like that. Mm. Yeah, he's a young lad with kids.
Fair enough. Crazy bastard. No wonder he's playing shit. They're probably growing up and he's not getting any sleep and all that shit.
Well, he wasn't getting some sleep because he kept on fucking making kids.
On to Saints and Geelong. I was disappointed in this game. Only because it was on at the same time as the Hawks game. And I thought, oh, good. Three-quarter time. You can switch over and watch the end of this really tight game. And I checked the scores and it was all level or nearabouts. And then I turned over to watch the last couple of minutes and it was a blowout.
Yeah.
God, Jesus Christ. They just... Selwood and Dangerfield just went, that's enough.
They kicked the last six. Even Aaron Black got a couple.
Yeah, well, that's it when you know you're going well.
So one of the faults of St Kilda have been not playing four quarters, but this wasn't the case here. It was just Geelong just switched on and do what they need to do to polish off the game. Yeah. St Kilda always put in their best effort.
Yeah.
It wasn't always a great effort, but it was their best. But they're outclassed at the end of the day.
The two best midfielders on the ground were both on the same team.
Yeah.
Minchington.
Yes.
How? Where's he come from?
I do not know.
He's got three nice ones. And he's not a player that's been on my radar, even though I agree that Saints have got a great bunch of mids. He's just popped up. You know, he's wearing number 41, so I'm guessing he's one of the ones where the ump didn't know who the fuck it was.
He didn't get to pick his number.
But, he looked like he might come into something. It was his rookie game, actually. That was his first game.
No, his first game for the year. He's played 24 games. He debuted in 2013.
Oh, there you go.
It's one of those players. I think, I've heard the name, but I couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
Yeah.
And I only know those facts because the AFL app just told me.
So, for the Saints, do you reckon Paddy McCartan gets back in the team? You reckon it's time to move him on? Do you reckon there's a spot for him?
I don't know. They've got so many good forwards.
Yeah.
I think that once you've got number one, was he number one or number two? I think he went number two.
I can't remember.
Once you've got them, you've got to say, well, you know, we've invested in him already by using one of our big picks.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, I know he's playing VFL now.
Yeah.
I haven't seen much from him.
That's it. You can invest in two cars. You can only drive one at a time.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's not as good as Bruce.
Yeah. And they got good draft picks coming up for the next couple of years. So he'd be a person that can move on to try and get some already developed talent in their team and plug some holes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Like everyone keeps telling me, that they've got Hawthorne's first round draft pick this year.
Yeah.
Plus their own, of course.
Yeah.
People have been telling you that.
Yeah. Yeah. Daily almost.
So they'll probably pick up someone like, you know, Carlisle.
Well, I thought he was okay. Carlisle in this game, roaming around the back, but towards the end of it, you know, once Geelong got on top, they play like that sometimes. Geelong, it's just aloof.
Well, they get to a point where once their midfield's running, it doesn't matter if it's someone like Carlisle on the back line, because they kick over the top of him or they run through. Exactly. So it pretty much negates what he's able to do. But they need someone like Carlisle to be that strong person in the back line. Still got some injuries to come in there. It's one of their weaknesses at the moment.
What stood out for me was Geelong's physicality.
Yeah.
Like 14-3 contested marks, which is pretty massive, but also tackles in forward 50, 20-7.
Yeah, I'm going to say those contested marks, though, big Tomahawks had a good start of the year.
He's a fairly big unit and not afraid to... There's been quite a few of those sneaky little push-outs that haven't been paid. A couple have, but he's pretty much every time the ball's coming up in, he's underneath and trying to... do the sneaky little forward push.
He does look like a man amongst boys at times.
Even Aaron Black kicked a couple of goals, so there's some good news for North supporters.
Actually, I think if you added up all the ex-North players and how they did over the weekend, they probably outscored North.
Definitely. Quite easily, I'd say. Just looking at Selwood, 43 touches. Is that the first 40-plus game for the year for anybody? I think it is. I can't remember any others, so I'm going to say it is. So it's a season high, but I mean, end of the day, I mean, you can almost forget how good Selwood is because Dangerfield's there.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a legit talent, no doubt.
And even Mitch Duncan flies on, like, he gets good accolades, but he flies on the radar. He could be a number one in other teams, I reckon.
I agree.
A couple of nice ones. And Harry Taylor finally kicked a goal. He's been playing forward for 5 weeks and been doing okay, but it's not many tall forwards that can play 5 weeks without kicking a goal and not.
Yeah,
brought into question. He has been swinging back.
Keeps going for the spoil in the marking contest. That's why.
I don't understand why they're persisting with putting him forward. Like, obviously, Chris Scott has a plan somewhere, but...
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure either.
I don't see the benefit. When you've already got quality forwards and you've got a great backman...
Well, I mean, I think that's the problem. Is when you go tall backs, they've got Lonergan, Mackie, and even Lachie Henderson. Lachie Henderson? Yeah.
They could just be trying to develop their next wave of key backmen. So give someone else a run there, see who you got, what you can do. I mean, I'm just talking shit. I don't know what they're doing, but you know, that'll be one reason I would think. Because otherwise, it's superfluous to put him in the forward line.
And Tui looks good running out of that back line with all those guys. So I think he is he's too good of a player to get rid of.
Oh, definitely.
They just got to find a spot for him, and they just put him everywhere.
Yeah.
So he's become a utility.
I mean, at his age as well, that'd be pretty. Decent role, I reckon. You just get to run around. You get, like, dealer's choice, pretty much. Just do whatever you want. I don't know. I can trust you. You'll be right.
The next game.
Yeah, Hawthorn running over West Coast. Never in doubt.
West Coast breaking the hearts of 80% of AFL football followers, especially one John Longmire and one Nathan Buckley.
They're probably Longmire. I don't know if Brad Scott was that happy either, but he's less worried about his
job. Brad Scott's never happy, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know, it was great for Hawthorn to win and kick, you know, the best part of 20 goals, let's not kid ourselves. West Coast were woeful.
Yeah.
I remember watching it and thinking, this is happening? These two teams are just...
Again?
It looked like... I must assume that the weather was fucking awful. Because, because it was, let's be honest. It was a pretty rainy weekend. But
I think this is the only dry game in Melbourne, besides the Etihad one.
It looked like a VFL match.
Yeah, at times it did, yeah. What was good, though, to see the changes that Clarkson did make, although he downplayed it in the press conference afterwards.
Yeah.
But you can see they went back to 2008 style press, and they really pressed hard, which meant that any time that there was one fumble or a contested ball that went the other way, it was easy pickings for goals the other end. And that's what happened. I think the first four goals were all for West Coast. The first four were just Jack Darling kicking him out of the goal square because he's there by himself. Ran hard to get there, mind you.
Yep.
But it was good to see there was something else there. It wasn't just, well, I'm experimenting, let's keep going, stick to it. They changed things up.
And the good thing for the Hawks is that at least one of their recruits has worked out in Tom Mitchell. He's been killing it all year. And we will fly so far under the radar just because Hawthorn aren't winning. But he's one of the probably best performers at the moment, definitely in their team.
Yeah, he's had 30-odd touches, but he's still, two handballs to every kick.
Yeah.
And like I said, his kicking's, it's unfair. He's in the wrong side because he gets compared to Sam Mitchell for obvious reasons.
Mm.
And he's not as good.
Yep.
And I think that was a real shame, too, that Sam Mitchell didn't play.
Yeah, I thought as well. Was it legit, you reckon?
Yeah.
No, it was fixed.
He is an absolute competitive bastard. He would have loved to have been out there.
Yeah.
And guarantee, while he'd like that, his old teammates and his old coach is now, the pressure's off a tiny little bit.
Yeah.
He wanted the 4 points.
Yeah.
Like, he wants to win.
And especially, if you're playing your mates, you don't be the one that gets has to cop shit afterwards. Yeah. You're not about to give the shit.
Yeah, those text messages would have been running wild, I'm sure. Mm.
It was good to see Sirioli took another nice mark in his farewell season before he went to Tiwi Island.
I think there were rumours that Clarko actually apologised to Carey afterwards.
Legit apologised for making it personal about... Because the line that Clarko said was, I think, something along the lines
of... He should know better.
Carey should shut up because, if we start talking about him, we could talk all day or something.
Yeah, he's like, we could annihilate him all.
And considering he had 7 years at North with Carey, he would know the stories that didn't make it to papers. And
yeah, it's a good point.
There would be, considering what did, there would be some highly illegal and inflammatory shit.
Yeah.
I didn't realise their careers crossed over. Yeah.
Yeah, for a long time.
I think it makes sense when you think about it.
Carries around NDAs for everyone he meets, I think.
And let's not kill the lily. He's a fucking cunt.
Yeah.
So for Clarko to apologise, to me, it's him more being like, look, I don't want to get in a slinging match with this bastard because I can go to my bottom, not the bottom.
Yeah. Plus, Carey is a big cunt.
Yeah.
He is huge.
This is true. Yeah.
And one of the best footballers ever.
Yeah, he still is. He's just, it's like O.J. Simpson. Great running back.
Yeah.
Probably killed his wife.
I love that Chappelle part.
Yeah.
I understand.
Where he's like, well, that man ran off over 10,000 yards.
The thing is, you're right when you say he's a big cunt, because he is a big cunt and also a big cunt.
Yep. So that's why I'd be apologising to him too if I said something personal about him.
I'm sorry, Wayne.
Well, I've said lots of personal stuff about him. Let's be honest, I've met him, so.
I don't know how well you guys watched this one, but Ryan Burton, playing as a key backman, got the Rising Star nod in rounds two. He might actually give it a shake, you know.
I'll be honest, in terms of watching it closely, as soon as I realised West Coast were going to win, I lost all interest.
West Coast lost, but that's all right.
West Coast are going to lose.
I knew exactly what you meant.
Yeah, he definitely watched that. I didn't pay much attention to it, really. I went to get into a blowout. I mean, it's always good to see West Coast fail again at the MCG, so I was happy about that, and that was my little win.
That was your little win?
Yep.
Well, Hawthorn were winning, so I made sure I watched the final side, then waited for the highlights to be uploaded and watched them twice.
Well, the funny thing was that all the West Coast stars went missing again. Like, Lacroix didn't do anything.
Lacroix was a shocker. Like we said, even Jack Darling kicked four goals, but they were about the only four kicks he had all day.
Yeah, yep.
And Josh Kennedy seems to have a real quiet one whenever he goes to the MCG. Mm. I think his last six games, his best return is two. Having said that, he does give away handballs when he's dead in front a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's not trying to pad his stats either. Clearly, he doesn't give a shit. I thought that Tim O'Brien played the best game of his career. And it was funny because during the week, I was talking to another Hawthorn mate and was like, draw a line through him. He's not good enough for Box Hill. Why is he doing this? Goes out and kicks three. I'm like, all right, fair enough. Fuck.
He will do.
How'd you see Sicily's match?
Good. Yeah, really good. It was good that he was playing 90% of his time up forward. And he's got a great pair of hands.
He seems a bit bipolar to me in the way that when everything's going his way, he looks great. And then as soon as something happens to snap his concentration, he seems to just take his mind off footy and want to do other shit.
He has an argument with himself.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, he does have that little fire, I think, right behind the eyes.
There's a fire, but also easily distracted. Like, it seems like you could, if you jingled a few keys in front of him while you're talking to him, he'd just sort of look at them and play with them.
He's no Rube Waddell. But at least he took some grabs. And talk about taking grabs. Ben McAvoy was probably best on ground. And he's been getting killed this year in the rucks. So it was to come against Nathan Vardy, who's not a first stringer.
Not a ruckman's asshole.
Is McAvoy a legitimate first stringer ruckman?
Well,
he's the one they got.
He's the one we've got.
That's what I mean.
But he was, like I said, best on ground, so it took him to task. Something about Cyril Rioli, too. I don't know if you noticed he was playing, but if you listen to the commentary, he was. They were going nuts about him in the first quarter when he hadn't done anything yet.
Yep.
So when he legitimately did something amazing, it's the same reaction.
Yep.
I thought, guys, there's got to be, you can't just be 10 all the time.
It's just a button on the soundboard. Yeah. Just press it each time. I'm sick of it.
Pretty much.
Bruce has actually been dead for a couple of years. They've just got that Cyril soundboard. And
Weekend of Brucies.
Could happen.
I'm going to say, if Daniel overtakes him, which looks like, that could happen sooner rather than later, I don't know. Bruce's heart might be torn.
Do you think he can handle the pressure?
Yeah.
Daniel, I mean.
Oh, I thought you meant Bruce. I thought, will his heart give out? You know, like, maybe, but he'll give a fair old shake first.
He does have 2 hands, but only one penis. But
you know of.
We think Daniel can handle Bruce, give him a ride to the MCG when the game's on and, talking him up every 5 seconds.
It's going through his mail.
It's the ride home he's worried about, let's be honest. It was a good all-around effort from Hawthorn. It was good to, it's hard to win games of footy these days, but, we've got one on the board. That's all we need.
Well, one of the games around came up next at the G on Monday night.
Wasn't it a fantastic... Again, like we're saying, not pretty football, but geez, it was good to watch. All day.
Maybe I'm just easily amused or easily pleased. I don't want pretty football. I don't like the hamble that hits a mark every damn time. I like the grind.
Because you don't have a choice.
Well. But...
I still like kicks that hit targets.
No, see, I like wet weather football because it's all about yards gained.
I really don't like our backline fumbling the ball every time it fucking goes down.
But the one thing that Richmond did well all game was when the ball went to ground, they managed to punch it forward.
Kept it moving forward.
And it's not the artistic form of vapor football, but it's that grind, hard, blue collar, just I'm not going to give a fucking inch sort of footy that I like watching.
It was just that last line of defence that held up time and time again, because Melbourne, they just had more people around the ball, which is always a gamble because you're betting that you're going to get first use of it and not get killed on the counter. And Melbourne did that to a T, but they just couldn't convert on the board. The last line just wasn't falling down for them.
It was a game of burst, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's why they ran out of legs in the final quarter. They just couldn't pull that pressure on around the ball. Because when you watched it, there was always too many Melbourne players around the ball. So you know that they're short somewhere else on the ground. And that's why Richmond's are always those counter goals running straight through the middle. Just kick it long and you've got one-on-one.
Speaking of being short around the ground, like they were short on the bench too, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, Smith.
Smith. I'm not sure what Smith did, but I know that Spencer, he did his shoulder and then he went back on and then he did his ankle and they went, that's fucking enough. And now I think he's going to miss 2 months as well.
Yeah, so... If you're a ruckman at Melbourne, looking like you've got a good season. Actually, I saw Gorney.
I saw the photos.
He's gone.
The beard's gone. He's got the big handlebar mustache just about.
Yeah.
It's not a handlebar mustache.
Salvador Dali kind of.
It's like a character from Guess Who.
Yeah, a little bit.
He looks 12.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how to take this.
Who I most feel sorry for is the kid out of that Auskick ad. He spent ages growing that fucking beard. And now it's all for nothing. But the Tigers, again, does Dusty get 3 more votes?
Well, it's tough to put it past Jack.
I got
to
say. Like
those first 3 goals, snap on the left, snap on the right, then one from, on the angle, on the other side of the angle.
I did like it when was it Daisy Pierce was interviewing him afterwards? And he said, when did you know it was your day? He goes, that first one.
Yeah.
When that went in, I knew I was on.
Yeah. See, Daisy gave him a bit of a smack on the bum.
I did see that, yes. I think he went away.
It did seem like she was actually aiming for his lower back. But no, own that up. Own that.
Like you said, he's taller than you think. He's actually taller than Nick.
Yeah.
So maybe she didn't take it into account, despite the fact that she was standing right next to him.
Or maybe she just thought, this is my shot.
Good on her.
One thing that I liked about this game was that I kind of got a feel for what it was like to be a Hawthorn supporter. Like, all the free kicks like going our way and the free kicks not being paid the other way. So I feel like I generally know what it's like to be a Hawthorn supporter, except I don't have anything to drink out of.
Yeah, I've got quite a few mugs. I thought holding the ball decisions on the night. I'm like, well, he didn't handball that.
Yeah.
And he had it and he got tackled. Yeah. It's almost like the wet weather discount was given.
Yeah. Well, what about slippery ball? Who was it? Rance. Not Rance. Who was just ran it straight out of bounds, straight out of bounds.
Yeah, there was one.
Like it would have been, it could have another 10 meters on the boundary, still wouldn't have made it in. Like, made sure it definitely was Grimes. That's right.
I guess I thought it was Grimes,
and then there were some holding the balls that Richmond should have been pinged for.
Yeah,
and so it just made me feel really good. You know, umpires on our side. I feel like this tide's changing.
Well, I've certainly felt it the other way because we didn't get any good ones, Hawthorn. But when you mentioned the out of bounds on the deliberate out of bounds. Sorry, going back to the Hawthorn one, Shannon Hearn handballed to somebody who was in the third row. Well, he's a player. That's not deliberate. But anyway, back to this one. I thought Jack Watts also had a great game.
Yeah.
Considering he was thrown into a role as the lead ruckman.
Yeah. You know,
he's pinch-hitted in the ruck before.
Kicked a great goal from about 55 metres out, too.
I it's think the second match he's had to do this after Gorn went down.
Yeah, because he had to take the ruck duties. Not
the confidence he's got now, too, is honestly a big factor.
I think he seems to like it because he has played some good games as the number one ruckman and no pressure games too.
Well, I think it frees him up around the ground too because the actual ruckman is going to pick him up around the ground, so they've got to adjust around him.
Will be interesting because I don't know what their ruck stocks are like now because Spencer was the backup and now he's gone for 2 months.
Mm.
So it might be Jack Watts is the lead ruckman.
Yeah.
In which case, if he goes out there and gets 5 hitouts, you're like, hey, fuck yeah.
He'll probably have to be rotating. I don't think he'll be the standalone ruckman. I think he'll rotate with Smith or something.
No, but he might be the number one ruckman though.
Yeah, that's true. Just by default.
Yeah, exactly.
Nicky's a good around the ground ruckman. I think at the set of bounces, he'll get fucking annihilated.
Yeah, but that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
So he got 11 hitouts on the night, you know, which is okay. You know, it's all right. I mean, Nankervis, like we said, he's playing exceptional this year. Better
he's
than
top level. Yep.
Better than we would have thought. Well, he's probably in the top five of ruckman going around at the minute because everyone's fucking injured.
Mm.
So
I thought Castagna had a good game as well, presented himself well in the forward line, and also across the middle of the ground, did very well to push the ball forward, not trying anything cute, just being very smart in the contest.
Young Caddy as well. He did some smart stuff. Did some dumb stuff too, but Richmond. So it's very...
Geez. Even Reece Conker did some good shit. Coming back, the old fella, I think he's only 26 or something, but he's got a body of an old fella.
It feels weird to say, but Richmond did some smart stuff. Even Basher Hooley. He did some very smart...
he did, actually,
kicks to position.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know if I should call it smart, but I think they didn't do dumb things.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Yep.
That's definitely an improvement.
Smart enough.
We didn't try and outthink ourselves through a very simple strategy game.
Yeah, it's wet.
Kick a forward. Yep. It was very interesting, the insight with Jack Viney mic'd up and about how they transitioned from whatever game plan they had into that wet weather game. And they were just making a point of it. This is what Jack Viney does. He goes around there and tells the team that he's the general. I'm like, surely if it rains, that's a given. You know what to do. Like, you don't need someone. If you need someone to go around and tell you, kick it long, son.
I don't know. Some of those players, you might have to tell them that it's raining.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. But I thought Viney was good. He's great at being one of those annoying little bastards. So was Melksham. Melksham did a great job of being a pain in the ass for a lot of people.
And Hibbard had a good game as well. I think.
Yeah, Hibbard did too.
Was he his first game for Melbourne?
Can't remember.
I think so.
I think so.
I think he lined up all right. He had some really tough plays towards the end.
Yep.
Actually, one bit of news I did see come out was Griffin in the VFL got another concussion.
Another big knock.
Did he?
He can't last
the season. I don't know. He's got a small fucking head. I don't know. Anyone and it's like 7 feet in the air. Well,
maybe it's a normal size head, but it just keeps getting dented in.
It's like Dwight Howard.
He's had, two concussions so far this year, and he's averaging about one or so a year.
Billy Bob, you got to call him.
Well, they're going to have to put a line through him.
Yeah, they probably are.
Like, if it's one more this year, it absolutely has to happen.
Years ago, I remember Kurt Tippett, he got two in the space of 3 weeks or something like that, and they just put him out and said, look, you're not playing for the next 4 weeks. something like that, when he was at Adelaide. Yeah. So maybe they do have to say, mate, take a month off, no contact, and we'll see how we're going after that.
I think with Tibbet, they just realised he always looks like that.
Probably did. Probably.
Well, I know in contact, like fighting sports, you get a compulsory 3 month to plus if you get KO'd. I mean, granted, a KO is a bit different to a concussion.
Yeah, I'm going to say, and they have, you know, a concussion, a concussion, a concussion. Now you're KO'd in the space of 5 minutes.
It's a Mazzagatti referee.
I was going to say, in the space of 5 minutes, or 3 minutes 20 if you're Ronda Rousey.
Also, I think Melbourne had cleaner skills in the wet here, with the exception of Daniel Rioli, who seems to have the most important 8 touches per game. So he's shit for your super coach, but...
he did some brilliant pickups in the wet.
Yeah.
Like, crazy, just... managed to just fingertip the ball off the ground on the run while 8 people are trying to grab him.
Just create space where there isn't any.
Yeah, absolutely. A
little knack for doing that.
His first step, the explosive nature of it, is just astounding to watch.
So Richmond go 5-0 for the first time since the 40s or something like that.
There's no keeping a lid on it now.
They got, well, Adelaide and Adelaide Oval. I think that'll put a lid back on it. But
well, yeah, but for the next few days... my advice is to live it up. Just fucking
why not enjoy it.
Go for it. Enjoy it. Look, everyone knows it's there will be a crash involved in this train, but fuck it, enjoy the ride until then.
But I think 5-0 is enough to get Harwick through to the end of the year.
It's enough to get him through at the very least until round 14. I think if they don't win another game until then, he'll be fucked. But
maybe if they lose 10 in a row, But all things being equal.
But I think his pass mark is, can he keep Dusty? If he does enough to keep him, then all right, sweet, you get another go.
You have to say, he'd be enjoying his footy right now, so it shouldn't be impossible.
He's killing it, Dusty. Absolutely killing it.
Just getting better each game, too. I think that extra trim down has made a big difference in his game. He's not as lethargic and he can play out full games.
Yeah, well, the story I heard was North's recruiting strategy was to tell Rance to try and convert Dusty to Mormonism. but it's just pissed him off and he's played better footy, so it might have backfired.
No one's brave enough to knock on Dusty's door.
There is no door. It's fucking kicked down with cops.
And on to, finally, the Anzac Day game.
Always a great game.
Always a great game. Actually, the last couple have been pretty shit because Essendon have been shit. But it's a great occasion. But today was fantastic. It was back to the Anzac Day games of old.
Yep.
Yeah. And if 80% of football supporters were upset with West Coast's effort, I'd say 90% were pretty pleased with Essendon's.
Is Buckley's worst start to his career, coaching-wise? 1-4.
That's saying something.
They're usually fast starters, Collingwood, and die off towards the end of the year. So I don't know where they go if they die off from here.
Well, usually they get injury-plagued halfway through the year. Fuck knows why, but it just seems to be a common occurrence. But now they don't have that excuse, so...
Oh, they actually got players coming back. Wells
played his first one.
Yeah. And did very well, I thought.
Did okay.
Danaher got the medal, and... Yep. For a lot of people said well-deserved and everything. For me, I thought he was a liability, to be honest.
Well... I looked at it as he wasn't best on ground, but I know that the Anzac Day medal isn't a strict best on ground. Yeah. They say it's the values of blah, 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 blah. I had Tippett Woody.
Oh, yeah. Shit, yeah,
I
definitely.
Thought he was unbelievable. Yep. Like, did he have 4 or 5 chase down holding the ball decisions?
And aren't they great to watch?
It's as good as a big grab.
On the other hyphen, Hoskin Elliott.
Yeah. I think that was his last one.
I would have thought bouncing in the wet, generally not what you do.
He went for the old double bounce in the end.
Yeah, and mate, come on. Well, you're taking the piss.
Is kicking to yourself a legitimate strategy for bouncing, like the Irish style?
Yes, yes you can. If you handball, it counts. Like, if you handball 15...
You're still in possession.
Yeah, you're still in possession. So if you handball 15 metres and catch it, then you've run too far.
Right.
But if you kick it 15 metres and catch it, you're fine.
Just like the Irish kick to yourself.
Oh, yeah, you can do that. Chip. What he should have done is when the ball didn't come back to him, he should have gone, you know what? It's probably a really fast bloke right next to me.
Yeah.
You know, I reckon if I grab it again, he's going to tackle me.
Yeah.
And he maybe loved the tackle too.
Fucking oath he did.
And well, like, I'm with you. I thought he was the medalist for sure.
I would have loved to have seen it.
Who picks the medal?
It was Mark Robinson, Jake Nile, and Brad Sewell. And
so no one that knows about footy then.
Yeah.
So Mark two of them Robinson, had Danaher's best on ground. As 3 votes. And the other one had him as 2 votes. So he won it handily, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, well, maybe. Look,
he won it with a handy.
But Tippett Woody didn't get a vote.
That's fucked up.
Bullshit. Yeah. That is fucked up.
That's the exact reason why I checked it, because I thought he was brilliant. And when if they're saying it's not a best on ground, it's, you know, Anzac Spirit, the Courage teamwork, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, dude, the lad had a game.
Yeah. And the amount of times I saw Danaher pull out of a chase or just decide, nah, fuck it, I'm letting him run by, gives me the shits. Look, he's a quality player, don't get me wrong.
He did kick a goal from legit 70.
Yeah.
I remember when he was running around with fixed bayonets.
He was over, he did a brilliant match. I honestly am stunned that he wasn't best on ground.
I'm sure he'll get all the plaudits in. Inside the four walls, that's the term they use nowadays, isn't it?
If he doesn't get at least two on Brownlow Day, the umpires have no idea.
They'll give three to Merritt, two to Heppel, and one to Watson out of habit.
Yeah.
Trelaw had a good one.
Trelaw did. He's had a good year.
He's had a brilliant season.
You always pencil him in for performing week in, week out.
Yeah, if they were actually having a better season, he would be a Brownlow darkie. Yeah.
I thought if they were 4-1, he's probably right up there with Dusty and... from Adelaide Sloan.
Yeah.
He's probably still, you know, he's probably polling in four games so far.
Little Green, too.
Yes, Little Green.
He had a really nice run. As a crumbing forward, I thought he did some brilliant goals.
Considering he was an off-cast from the Lions, nobody wanted him.
That's tough if you're off-cast from the Lions.
Exactly.
I'll stay. No.
He might be, though, the second best crumbing forward in the team, because Orazio Fantasia is, to be honest, if I'm picking All Australian after five rounds, he's in there.
He's got the BT factor.
Oh, hadn't he?
Love saying his
name. Orazio.
He is almost Rioli-esque in terms of enthusiasm that the commentators have for him.
Yeah, and well deserved. I think every time the ball gets near him, he looks like he's going to kick a goal. He had a good year last year, and I think he sort of flew under the radar because Essendon were
woeful,
awful. Now he's going to get. You're going to have to start paying attention to him. You're going to have to go, all right, what are we doing about Fantasia this week?
Yeah, yep. And luckily he's small, so you're not going to waste a big man having to mark him off.
You got to put somebody that can keep up with him. He's so quick.
Yeah, I don't know who we. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know who they play next week. So.
Watson got 28 possessions. I didn't see him do much, to be honest.
He's gone back to a little bit of his plotting ways, and he's a distributor and lets the other guys like Merritt and Heppel do the running.
A lot of the time, he was sort of the man just off the pack, but had a really long handball to the third man who was running by.
Yeah.
If that's the team order, it's pretty well done.
So he's pretty much a mediator.
It's working for you. It's working for you, isn't it?
Bloody earth. Hurley. Hurley and Bagley down back.
Yeah.
They were rock solid.
Yeah, he's having a good year, Hurley, as well.
Very much. He was All-Australian a couple of years back. A
couple of years ago.
And he looks just as good now.
Yeah.
Good crowds for the two wet weather games, Anzac Eve and Anzac Day as well.
80,000 for both.
Just under 85 for the Tigers and just under 90 for Essendon.
And like you said, raining for both.
Yeah, and especially like the Tigers one where it's two teams playing, so to get, obviously...
There's always some teams playing.
No, but so you're not drawing from, the whole of Melbourne support base, It's just two teams, whereas, right. Anzac Day, everyone's going to go watch it.
It's an event, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that, Anzac Eve, Melbourne, Richmond, they're turning into an event.
I find that Melbourne just gets behind those sorts of things, which is leading me onto a tangent I was thinking about, where Robert Whittaker, looking for a shot at the belt, but they don't reckon that he'll sell at Etihad Stadium. I reckon, hands down for sure, he'll sell at Etihad Stadium fighting for a belt.
Yeah, hang on. If they... put the pricing right, because when they had the Rousey fight, it was like, hey, you want a seat? It's going to be $300. Like, get fucked.
Yeah, but all that happened was no one from Melbourne bought seats there because we're used to paying normal prices, whereas people from Perth and people from Sydney pay fucking extraordinary prices. So they were like, sweet, we're going across for it. So pretty much no one from Melbourne went. It was just all interstaters. So for someone like Whittaker fighting for a belt, I think it will definitely sell out. Petition the UFC, get it happening in Australia, because Bisping is supposed to fight.
Even if they're not going to sell 70,000, it doesn't have to be at Etihad. Because if you put it in,
Rod Laver,
you're selling 30,
yeah,
40,000. That's a good house for any UFC event.
Yeah, but Etihad's got that, they're like breaking records. You know what I mean? Yeah. So they always want to push records. Yeah, yeah. So I'd like to see in that house, and I think it'll be good to have an Australian kind of champ.
Flies under an Australian passport.
Fighting in Melbourne. So.
I did he came out and said, too, I'm not chasing Bisping, I'm chasing the belt. If he gives it to his neighbour, I'll fight his neighbour.
Yeah.
Already done it.
Good.
But I actually really enjoyed the match. towards the end, I actually found myself hoping Collingwood would get a sneaky late goal just to
tighten it up a bit.
Yeah. No more than one or two.
Just to make them stay for the very end.
That too.
But enjoyable match. It was hard fought on both sides. Neither side really gave up. And Buckley still has no excuses. So, yay.
I picked that this would be like the start of the rough times when Essendon come from now.
Yeah.
So I think the emotion's gone now and we're through it. And the slog of a season comes back into it. That could prove me wrong.
I think that one win, though,
Essendon proved shit for a long time. So
the season's good enough now for them.
Yeah.
They're not. Much. They were never aiming for finals. So I think a win over Collingwood Anzac Day, that's as good as a final win.
Well, I mean, they're sitting eighth at the minute. But yeah.
Yeah, they're going to drop off.
I think so, but you know, hey. Let's see what happens. So on to round six then. We've got an absolute cracker on Friday night. The Giants are hosting the Bulldogs.
Yeah. In Canberra. Friday night Canberra game.
Yeah. University of New South Wales is cracker of a match. Fucking fun.
It's going to be a great crowd there.
Friday night too. I think
it'll get a fair crowd just because you'll have the people knocking off from work going, fuck it, I'm not going home. It's Canberra. What am I going to do?
I don't think it holds a fair crowd.
Well, it'll be fair crowd for the ground. I mean, because what are you going to do in Canberra? Go out?
I don't know.
There's nowhere to go. Yeah. So you might as well go to the footy. It's the only thing on.
They probably don't know the footy's on either, though.
Does anyone else find it stupid that it's called the University of New South Wales ground and it's in the ACT?
Yep. I find the whole ACT stupid full stop.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, this is true.
That is true. Yeah.
What was the point of making the ACT? I still don't get it.
I'm sure it's probably some tax purposes for the residents there.
Yeah,
actually, you're probably spot on.
Some mate who owned property. Like, yep. Let's build it here. You know, we'll have to pay him. Yeah. Mm. I'm sure. Like, it's all dodgy like that.
Can we get a tax break for home here? Only if it's a different state. We'll fucking put a new one in. Job done.
What are you building? Brothel.
But how good a match is it going to be? GOS and Bulldogs.
Well, they've been trying to... Remember, this rivalry is meant to be happening because of Griffin and Tom Boyd.
Just the Westerns all you need. Yeah, the Western Bulldogs and the Greater Western, so
Bulldogs,
best of the West.
West Coast Eagles are here going, oi!
The Bulldogs, you know, ended the season for GWS in the prelim last year, so I think it's going to be an absolute cracker.
Pretty much Bulldogs stole their cup, let's be honest.
Might feel like it.
Well, all that aside, you got two sides that are pretty fucking great to watch.
Oh, fourth and fifth on the ladder.
Still in a canter, both of them, too.
Yeah, like I said, I don't think we've seen the best of the Bulldogs yet.
Yeah.
They're going to need it against GWS, and I think I'm going to tip GWS after they've touched up Sydney.
They're both quick, both very speedy sides, and it's going to be... I can't see it being a clean game, just because they're both going to play too quickly.
And it's in Canberra.
Yeah,
that too. But I'm going to go with GWS based on the fact that they've played there before.
Curious based on just a bit of local knowledge. Yeah.
So I think Bulldogs do play fairly regularly down in Canberra. I only know that because Uncle's a Bulldog supporter and he travels down for it a fair amount of time. What did the Oval used to be called? They used to play it in Canberra. It started with M. Monica.
Oh, is it the same Oval, is it?
Yeah.
Or a different Oval?
No, it's the same Oval, isn't
it? It's the same. It could be.
They've renamed it, from what I remember.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly the suburb anyway. Yeah, so we got GWS.
Yep.
Clean sweep. Yep. Saturday, we got Hawthorn and St Kilda down in Tassie.
This is going to be an ugly game, let's be honest.
See, the only reason I'm going to tip Hawks is because it's down there. Saints, I think, will really take it right up to them.
Like I say, their running game is going to be really hard for Hawthorn to match.
Yeah.
So I think the streak is something like 20-odd games in a row they've won in Tassie. But it won't last out this year, that's for sure. But it might end here. I just think that the way St Kilda plays is the exact way you need to play to beat Hawthorn.
See, I think St Kilda playing so many games that Eddie had, they're not used to outdoors as much.
Might be true, you know.
And the wind tends to be fucking everywhere down in Tassie.
I mean, playing on real grass too.
Yeah. They might get lost.
So Hawthorn are a bumpy track bully down there.
Yeah, I think I've got the Hawks just because... No one likes playing in Tasmania. That's the problem. So you're never really that motivated going down to Tassie. Unless you're Ben Brown, because you see both sides of his family.
Carlton hosting Sydney, and Sydney, I think, will be just looking at, yes, thank you. This is exactly what we needed right now.
Go for Carlton.
You go for Carlton just to see what happens.
I just got this feeling of irony that Sydney will finally be able to get one on the board, and Carlton will just have one of those freak games where everything works in your favour. You pull everything together and... mean, they're still a professional team, I think, aren't they?
Well, it's at the MCG, though.
Is Cruiser
back? I don't know.
If Cruiser's back, I'm actually on Carlton.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of that, too. I think Cruiser. And if Daisy's back, then I'm on Sydney.
Yeah, at the G.
Yeah, at the G is interesting. Because I thought Carlton would have enjoyed this much more at Etihad.
Yeah.
Because they knocked off Geelong and Collingwood back-to-back last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's about time for them to pull one out of the bag. Brisbane Lions are hosting Port Adelaide. This could be a very interesting one because Brisbane showed something last week and, then, you know, with their accuracy, kept them in the game. Yeah. And Port need to, I think, continue get the ball rolling for them.
Yeah. Did Paddy Ryder have another See Me Monday from the MRP?
I don't think so.
I've got a feeling it might have been downgraded to a fine.
I did check the MRPs and I think it was fines all around.
Yeah. The MRP has been pretty lenient this season so far.
Very soft. I don't mind it.
Yeah, yeah. I like it.
Fuck it. Hit him in the hip pocket hurts him more than having a week off work.
Yeah, and I mean, just you get paid the same as the MRP official whether you're doing something or not. So hey, yeah. You can sit at home and go, just give him a fine. I can't be fucked on him.
Sorry. Maybe they get a finder's fee for the fine, like a commission.
Well, they don't have to rock up for work. Yeah, they can do a job and not actually rock up to it and get paid.
Yeah, commission.
They get no-show jobs. That's great. Yeah. That's how the mafia runs. I think Port are going to have too much.
I think Brisbane have got their consistent performers that have been good, but they need people to step up if they're going to be able to take it on a team like Port.
I just don't think they're physical enough. I think Port are going to just out-muscle them. And little Pepper Pot is going to just put hands in faces left, right and centre.
He's big in the first couple of weeks and quiet. But I mean, last week everyone had a day out. So it'll be good for him to put a few back-to-back, I think. North, gone dry. North hosting Gold Coast. At Etihad Stadium.
Must win.
Well, yeah, could be.
Depends what your goals are for the season. I don't know.
It depends if you're trying to compete for that number one draft pick or not.
You could use some more players, so you know, maybe just sit on the hands. Proof's out again.
Well, Goldstein's probably going to be out, which means Dorr will come back in. Prius should as well.
They've got some mobile ruckmans, Gold Coast do. So you've got to try and keep up with them.
Prius should eat them alive.
Yeah.
Dorr won't be able to keep up around the ground, so just let him stick around the half forward, take the forward rucks. And with Prius's long bomb kicking, just tell him to fucking knock the fucking shit out of it when he gets a chance. Fuck this little handball to Rover bullshit. Put your fist in someone's face and then just kick it long.
I'll make a prediction that if Prius plays, Gary Ablett goes off injured. I reckon it's a 50-50 chance that happens.
I'm making a prediction that both teams score more points than goals.
Yeah, Swallow might go off injured too. I don't know which one. Could be both.
Yeah, he could damage the back of his throat. West Coast and Frio in the derby. I think the MRP, like we said, they're just licking their lips at this one. Because both teams at 3-2. Both teams need to show something. You know, West Coast obviously was shocking last week. Frio did just enough. Big Sandy is going to have a big day out.
How many members are the Dockers going to lose this match?
How many members?
Yeah, just based on the fact that they'll probably go real loose, start swearing, throwing shit, and they'll have to. The Frio membership squad's going to have to come out and go, "Oh shit, we've got to take it off him."
Here's the thing with Frio memberships that you can't afford to give it away because that's your seat. Yeah, so, exactly. Otherwise, when they come good, you can't go watch even if you want to.
There's a massive waiting list for them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Until you know they get into the new stadium next year,
new Perth Stadium. Yeah.
I think, you know, Frio are in with a show here.
I think they're a bloody good show just because of their benefits match up very well against the weaknesses of West Coast.
Well, that's if they play true to form, but both these teams have just been unpredictable, so anything can happen. So I'm picking the first draw of the season.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't think it'll be the first draw of Western Derbies, though. I think I've got a feeling they've had some before.
No, I can't remember.
I'm on Dockers.
Yeah, I think the Dockers might just cause an upset, just based on Sandy. Because if if McAvoy can take Vardy apart, then Sandy's just going to absolutely eat him alive.
And Fife's looking poised.
He needs a big one. He's ready for a big one. He needs, you know, like we said, Selwood had 43 touches, and there's been plenty of other players that have had 33 touches and four goals and, you know, that kind of... So Fife needs a big three-vote game in the Ross Glendinning medal, I think they call it. Melbourne and Essendon. Even when Essendon were up and about and Melbourne were tanking, Melbourne were always their bogey side. So I think Jordan Lewis comes back for this one.
Yeah, which they Desperately need.
But it's the ruck issue is going to
very much so. Although Essendon have Leuenberger,
but I don't think he played today.
Yeah. Who was their number one ruckman?
Today?
No, not today. But in
the generally, Leuenberger. Yeah. And McKernan does a fair bit of it.
Yeah, I'm McKernan. I want McKernan to do well, but even without a number one ruckman, I think it's just going to be so difficult to counter Melbourne's strengths. Like, you know, you got Viney running around there. He's looking in good form as well. Jones, just competitive as all fuck. Hogan should be back.
Yeah, I think he played this week. But he played in the wet, so if he gets a dry day, which he's good chance he will at Etihad.
Hurley Hogan should be a good matchup.
Matchup. Yep, it'll be brilliant.
So I think it's going to be a very, very close game. It's going to determine who kicks straighter. But I reckon Melbourne.
Yeah, I'm on the D's. I reckon I'll get through.
Yeah, geez. I was going to say Demons as well. Geelong are hosting Collingwood. Are we taking any pleasure in seeing Collingwood go 1-5?
Yeah.
It's little things in life that, you know, really make a difference. So I feel there's little just bits of happiness here and there.
I think Selwood and Dangerfield versus Treloar will be good to watch, but geez, you got to back those first two, don't you?
Yeah. Look, the thing that ironically causes the most joy is that Collingwood are a good side. Their talent pool is exceptional.
They're just not winning.
If you've got the talent, if you've got the recruiting right, you've got to say, well, what's left?
Well, they've got some talent, and the rest is what's left.
Yeah, that as well. I think their engine room has been performing exceptional this year. Like we said, especially with Treloar.
Yeah. And Adams as well has been putting his hand in.
He's been good, yeah. But coming up against Geelong, I think this one might actually get ugly.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Geelong will do it easy. They're not one to take their foot off the gas either, so this could be very ugly or very pretty, depending on which way you go.
I don't see who stops Hawkins.
Yep. They're going to put, Ben Reid onto him. And I think, and Ben Reid's a good player. I don't mind him. But if Hawkins goes beast mode, that's it.
And side bottom, I can't see him stopping him either. No. Like stopping Hawkins. The ruck battle, I think that'll split each way. I think Grundy is probably a better ruckman.
He's better around the ground. He's had a great year.
Yeah, he has.
He's been really handy.
But I don't think it's going to be enough. No. I think when you've got Dangerfield and Selwood there, and plus, you know, Guthrie might have a day out. Motlop's actually showed a bit of form lately.
A little bit, yeah. Menzel's kicked some nice goals.
Yeah. Motlop was a liability for the first three rounds, I thought, but he's actually come good now.
Yeah, some shockers.
So he's probably due for another shit one.
On that basis, Collingwood.
No, I think the Cats and it'll be a percentage booster. Yeah. I think it'll be a 10 goal plus.
Cats. And the final game of the round, you got the two undefeated teams, the Crows and Richmond. Richmond can show that this year is not a fluke if they take it up to the Crows.
Well, there's a slight chance of rain, so I guess it give us a slight chance of winning.
I'm going to say that's good for Richmond. If it brings the skill level down, not bad.
That's all we need. If we can slow them down and,
turn into a team of Charlie Hustles.
Yeah, all things fair, we don't win that game. But if we can get a bit of luck with some rain,
and who wants
a bit of luck
fair
with some injuries, no way. There's never, ever been in my vocabulary when it comes to footy. Because never winning, so... Yeah, we need some help from the guards. Yeah.
Well, so many, in terms of players, match up so well between Richmond and Adelaide, like Rance and Talia, who's going to be the All-Australian fullback. And then you got...
Well, I think Talia's injured this week, though.
Oh, has he come back?
No. I think he got injured this week.
Oh, I hope he's back. But yeah, then you've got the full forwards in Big Tex.
Well,
and,
like I say, Tex and Rance is going to be a great matchup.
Yep.
Well, Tex on Rance, and hopefully if we get to see it, Jack on Talia. And then, you know, Nankervis versus Jacobs.
It's going to be really good, actually, to see where Nankervis is sitting. Because Jacobs is probably the best ruckman going around at the minute.
Yeah.
To see him against some quality opposition.
Mm. Betts and Rioli. Like, stopping... Betts is the X factor, but Rioli's getting there.
I don't know. Sean Grigg in the Rocks, the X factor.
He gets a few free kicks.
He's done very well out of those.
Yeah, if they could confuse the nominations. It's going to come down to, I think, who did they send? Do they send Grimes to Betts? It's a tough one.
You ask every week, like, who do you put on Betts? And the answer is whoever we think we might have a chance.
Like, it might be two or three people. Rotating and double teaming.
Yeah, we've got some young people that won't be fast enough. Though, that's the thing. Like, we've got Short, you've got not McIntosh,
the other fucker's name? Well, I can't remember now, off the top of my head.
The thing is, playing back pocket now, you don't stay on your man. You have to run off him all the time, and Eddie Betts loves that shit.
Yeah, of course he does.
You run off him, he's running straight around to the goals.
He only needs 2 metres.
Yeah, he's pretty much a midfielder in the forward pocket. That's what he does.
You know, and I think it'll be great to see Sloane and Martin on the same field.
Yep.
But you, how can you tip against Adelaide at home?
Yeah, can't.
Don't call him that.
I think we need some help from the gods, and we need Adelaide to be under, I'll say, 16 goals to have a chance.
I can see Eddie walking out on the oval and just, you know, marking an X in that pocket, and he just turning to whoever's on him and saying, I'm going to kick 2 from this exact spot, and probably doing it. So on that note, I'm going to go Adelaide.
Brave. Yeah. All right, that'll do us for round 6. You know, hit us up on the website and Facebook and Twitter and clickingballs.com.
I don't think we've updated the website for a fair while, to be honest.
Have we? No. We'll get around to it one day.
Yeah. Hit us up on Twitter and Facebook.
All right, bye.
See you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.